Hi, I'm Andy Staples from Andy and Ari on Three, and another five-star quarterback just entered the transfer portal. That's what college football is now, a nonstop adventure, and we cover it every day at Andy and Ari on Three, whether it's the transfer portal, the college football playoff, the coaching carousel, you name it, and guess what? It doesn't stop even when the season ends. So join us every day, Monday through Friday. New episodes drop at 3 p.m. wherever you get your podcasts.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. I am Todd Starnes, your host, your voice of truth and hope across the fruited plain. And we begin with an interesting story out of Indianapolis. And we're going to get to the fraud story in just a minute. And I have a theory about what's really going on in Minneapolis and parts beyond. We're going to get to that in just a moment. But this story crossed my desk earlier today, and I thought, you know, this is an interesting idea. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of unrest in this country, especially among the youths of America. They're restless, and a lot of people have been blaming it on the China virus and the fact that for several years the children had been isolated. They weren't able to develop social skills, and so we have all this fighting and all of this violence and whatnot happening across the nation, and it's really gotten bad. And what I find very interesting, and hear me on this, it is prevalent, I believe, in many demographics, but predominantly in the black community. This has become a big issue, and we know it's becoming a big issue because black leaders are now beginning to speak out. And you can have the debate as to why. I mean, you know, AOC and others have come out and said, well, you know, the reason why kids are fighting and rioting and looting and doing all these other is because they're just hungry. And nothing satisfies hunger like a beautiful Gucci bag. So there are some that are saying this is all being done because others are saying, well, you know, the youth of America, they have nothing to do, Todd. What do you expect them to do? Just sit at home and read a book? Who does that these days? We need community centers. We need more basketball courts. That's the argument being made. But now it's gotten so bad out there, that even people in the black community are saying enough is enough. So there's a story out of Indianapolis. And there's a very popular establishment there. And this establishment, it's a nightclub. Many of you some of you may have been. I'm not a big nightclub guy. I don't even try to stay at the Piccadilly after dark. You know, I want to get out of there. You never know what's going to happen in the line. I'm just saying. So anyway, there is a club. And this club has been having some issues, and it's a really nice club. It's an upscale club. And the name of the club is Georgia Street Rhythm and Blues. It's a lounge. And they're making national headlines, and it's really funny because people are accusing the lounge of being racist when, in fact, I believe blacks actually own this lounge. And I only say that based on the way they've been able to frame the problem. This is from WISH-TV. Kat Sandoval is the writer. Downtown Indianapolis bar, Georgia Street Rhythm and Blues Lounge, just got an age restriction upgrade from over 21 to 30 and older. The bar posted an announcement early Sunday on social media. It said the bar will now be restricted to people ages 30 and older because younger patrons don't know how to conduct themselves in the environment. Some bar hoppers said this is great news, others not so much. Tom Huken says, I love this. More bars should do this. I hate being the older one at the bar. I've noticed that as I got older, I'm 31. Wait, 31? All right, 31 is not old. Come on, sir. He says there needs to be more 30-plus bars in Indianapolis. It turns out in 2025 alone, Indianapolis Metropolitan Police say there were at least 6 cases at the lounge, including thefts, public disturbances, and an assault. Abby Richardson, not too keen about the new restriction. She just turned 30, and while she can get into the downtown bar, she says she can't bring everyone in. All of my siblings are younger. My husband is younger than me. Oh, she's a cougar. And some friends are younger, so that's a turnoff. If I was going with other people, obviously it's a turnoff. I would not go there. So I want to read to you the statement. And Dylan, I'm curious to hear your thoughts because you have been known to go out and participate in these kinds of activities, going out to some of the cool, hip places around Memphis. So yes. Have you noticed that that's a problem? I mean, when you go to these establishments, are there fisticuffs? Is that what they call it? Are there brouhahas?
Maybe a few here or there.
All right. But and I have to – and these aren't like dive bars. These are really nice places.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what I believe this R&B bar is here in Indianapolis. But I want to get your take here because I have a question – about one phrase. This is what they wrote. Due to the increased number of YNs and YFNs, does that mean female?
I'm not going to assume anything.
Okay.
Here.
Due to the increased number of YNs and YFNs that clearly do not know how to conduct themselves in a grown and sexy environment, Georgia Street Lounge will now be age restricted to 30 and over. Unless you are a special guest of our staff or marketing team, you will not be allowed entry. Do not contact us for any under 30 birthdays or special events because the answer will be no, go somewhere else. I think they've had some problems.
Wow, 30 is a lot. That's a pretty high number to be.
But, you know, it's interesting. I mean, if you're a bar owner, and here's the problem, you know, you could get, if you have enough police reports, I mean, you could get slapped with nuisance fees. They could come in and shut you down. And then your livelihood, the business that you own is gone. I mean, and there's nothing you can do about it.
That's a good point. Maybe, I mean, I don't know. I would hate to see, you know, maybe hopefully it's a temporary thing. Because I know a lot of young people, you know, they're just now getting old enough to drink, but they want to be responsible, so they're missing out, maybe. But, you know, wait till you're 30, I guess.
They play R&B music, and they had an ugly sweater contest for Christmas. One guy is wearing a sweater that reads, horny and lit. Classy joint.
He's ready for a good time.
Classy joint. And I've noticed that most of the photographs of the women are taking where it looks like they're, well, on the ground.
Right.
The photographers. Oh, apparently they've also had to install, this is funny, they've had to install like these metal detectors to go into the club. That's how bad it is.
Yeah.
And so, look, this may be your scene, and that may be what the nightclub scene looks like these days. I don't know. I was just never into all of that. And that's fine. If that's you, you do you. Oh, they have ladies' night. Oh, can't call up those photos. But I will say this. How bad is it out there that you can't even go to, say, you know, a bar or let's say Applebee's? You can't even go to Applebee's because you've got people fist fighting in Applebee's. Nobody knows how to behave in public anymore. Have you noticed that, Dylan? As you guys are out and about, have you just noticed people don't know how to act?
Yeah, like fights will start very easily over the stupidest things. And obviously, you know, when people are drinking, you know, fights can start over someone stole my straw. But like, yeah, it's pretty out of hand. And it's just sad because it makes you not want to go out anymore, like with your wife or with your family. Trying to have a good time. People are just disrupting everything. So
you just want a nice, refreshing beverage. Give me a sarsaparilla. And you're trying to enjoy your delicious sarsaparilla. And, you know, it's like you're in the middle of a MMA fight.
Should have signed a waiver to get into this bar.
Right. But this is happening all over the place. And if you think it's bad at the bar, try going to a Chuck E. Cheese.
Don't get me started on Chuck E. Cheese or a Waffle House.
Don't step foot
in there unless you're ready.
Yeah, but you know, at least with Waffle House, you're being entertained.
Yeah, and the workers are, you know, they're trained. They it seems like they've had mixed martial arts training. So
they know how to wield a cast iron skillet or a spatula. So I bring all this up because, again, it's the 21. It's the kids in the 20s. They're the problem. And there's a guy named Dwight Howard who, if you know anything about basketball, he's a former NBA champion. Dwight Howard has come up with an idea that I'm curious to get your take on. He believes that President Trump should make military service mandatory to teach young Americans discipline. Now, hear me on this. We live in a society right now where you've got a frightening number of parents who are just simply abdicating their responsibilities. They're not raising their kids. And as bad as the ones who are just out on the streets causing mayhem and stealing the Gucci bag so they can, you know, get some Wonder Bread, as bad as those people are, even the rich people, they're not raising their kids. Bunch of spoiled little brats. And we live in a society where you've got kids that are just running wild. And I like this idea. So Dwight Howard says, and let me give you some background. This guy, NBA champion with the LA Lakers, he played for the Orlando Magic. He's the real deal. He's the real deal. And he says, and it was just kind of a random thought here. Somebody sent this to me, and I thought, oh, wow, this ties right into what happened in this bar in Indianapolis, where it's so bad, people don't know how to behave, even because it used to be like, okay, 21 and then maybe 25. Now it's at 30. And if you don't know how to behave by the time you're 30, we're done as a country. But he said this, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on this. He says, I honestly feel like the president should make 1 year of service mandatory for everyone born in America. A lot of other countries do it, and I think it would help with discipline and structure. I'm curious what y'all think. Would this help America? That is a great question. Would it help America? Do you think that a year or, let's just say, 2 years of military service would help provide structure for kids that are growing up without structure? I mean, the Mormons do it, right? They send them out door knocking all over the place. How long do they have to do that, Dylan? It's like a year, 2 years or something. I don't know. They got to wear the little black pants and the white shirt with the little name tag there. I get the magazine. They don't do the magazines. That's just the
Jehovah's Witness. Yeah,
the Jehovah's Witness.
Get it mixed up pretty easily.
Thank you. Do the Mormons give you anything?
Maybe the Book of Mormon.
I got to take a pass.
Pamphlet.
It's good reading material. Yeah. I mean, the Jehovah's Witness. You used to live in a neighborhood where those folks lived. Did you know that? Their headquarters was in Brooklyn, downtown Brooklyn. I think they moved now.
Yeah.
They were the largest property owner in downtown Brooklyn. The Jehovah's Witness. Yeah. Wow. Could not go anywhere on a Saturday without somebody giving you a Watchtower magazine.
There you go.
I'm like, I gave it the office for crying out loud. Worse than the Girl Scout parents. Want some cookies? I don't need any tag-alongs, but if you got a Watchtower, I'll take it. So anyway, back to whatever we were talking about here. I like this idea of sending your kids not to boot camp, to literal boot camp. And honestly, it could actually help the country become a stronger country. You got to go back to World War II and follow me on this. World War II became our greatest generation. And why did they become the greatest generation? A lot of those kids that were fighting, they were like in their early or late teens. We're talking 17, 18, 19-year-olds. They went in and they served in the military and they got that structure in their lives. They put it all on the line for their country. And I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if you think this might be the solution to the big problem in our country, we have got not just one, but two generations of young people who are just wandering. Just wandering. Could you imagine, Dylan, Sergeant Dieter? Drill Sergeant Dieter.
How would he put a hat on that hair? How would he do that?
No. He'd have that buzz cut going.
Oh, yeah, you have to shave it.
Yeah, he'd be what, a jarhead, right? Sergeant Dieter. I love it. One guy writing it says, I think military service would be better. Learn how to defend yourself. Shoot and handle guns properly. The bond and respect for each other would go up. I love this idea. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Every so often, a film comes along that challenges us to look closer at what's happening in our own backyard. Sexploited is that film, a gripping new four-part docuseries that uncovers the reality of sexual exploitation happening in every community in America. You will hear from survivors, law enforcement, and advocates who are fighting to expose and end this modern-day slavery. It's not easy to watch, but it's something every American needs to see. You can stream Sexploited right now or purchase the DVD by visiting sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. That's sexploitedfilm.com or salemnow.com. Watch it, share it, and stand with those working to bring freedom and justice to the exploited.
Lip, 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 right lip.
Oh, yeah, we could do that. Dylan, we could do like drills here on the show. I think it's a great idea. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Brock in Memphis, Tennessee, starting our day at KWAM. Hey, Brock, what's on your mind?
Hey, Todd, how you doing?
I'm well.
Been in another park the last couple months.
What's that now?
So you've been knocking it out of the park the last couple months.
Well, thank you, sir. We try, Brock. What's Brock, going on?
You talking about that bar? It's like it's new, but in Memphis, like, you know, it's sketchy down there around Firestone and Thomas late at night. And I did a career on the police department, but like 15 years ago, LD had an age list on it. He ran a tight club. I mean, there was security everywhere. And it was a big operation. He was a Green Bay Packer guy or something, or played for the Packers. So the story went back, maybe like back in the 70s or something. We had a club down there, and he had like 26 or 27 years old before you could go in.
Really? So
that
this is nothing new.
Like 2003, 2004, or something like that. And then another thing I want to touch on was a coincidence or irony of it all. I noticed this decades ago, but the Somali flag, the sky blue background with the white star in the middle, is the same flag as the old Confederate Bonnie blue flag. So now I guess people can fly a Confederate flag and nobody would know the difference.
That's true.
You know, so what's going on now,
Brock? I didn't even think
warfare.
I didn't even think about that, but Brock, you're absolutely right. You just triggered a bunch of folks up in Minneapolis, my friend. All right, Brock, hang in there. Thank you for calling in. Happy New Year to you. 901-260-5926. Going right to your calls. Got to take a break first, though. We'll be right back. Hey, folks, Angel Studios is having their biggest sale of the year, and it's one you don't want to miss. Right now, you can get an Angel Guild membership for as low as $6.99 a month for 12 months, plus two free tickets to see David, the brand new animated musical about the shepherd boy who became a king, in theaters this Christmas. A deal so good, it pays for itself. Now, listen, I talk a lot about protecting our families, what we watch, what we bring into our homes, and this is one of the easiest ways to do it. This is Angel's lowest price of the year, and honestly, it's the kind of gift that keeps on giving. Entertainment that fills your home with light, and that's something worth supporting. Go to angel.com/stars and take advantage of their biggest sale of the year. All right, NBA star Dwight Howard supporting the idea of sending our Ute, the Ute of America, to the military, mandatory. What say you, ladies and gentlemen? Would that be the remedy here, the solution to fixing what is broken with this generation of young people that are basically, you know, wildings? Let's go to the phone lines. Dave in North Carolina, WSJS, our great affiliate. Hi, Dave. What say you?
Hey, Mr. Stark. How you doing?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
I was driving and listening to your show, and we do have a problem with the young people, and they do need structure. They need discipline. They need respect. I just retired from the largest company in Memphis, which you know what that is, right?
Well, I do. Were you a pilot with that organization?
No, I was a courier.
Oh, well,
33 years.
Oh, wow!
And when we would, and I just retired 6 months ago, and Mr. Stark, our biggest problem with the company was when we bring in 20 new employees, if they were under 30 years old, they didn't have any work ethic. They didn't have any structure. They didn't have any discipline. And they would literally quit if they were not at the top pay within 6 months. And us guys who've been driving for 30 and 30-some years, we were looking like, what in the world is going on here? Who has entitled these kids and these youth so much that they think they're supposed to be at the top in the beginning? They think they're not supposed to work hard and not supposed to earn anything in life. They're supposed to be given to them.
You know, Dave, so I wonder, where do you think that mentality is coming from?
All I can say is it's got to be society, the parents raising them that way. These kids, parents raising them that way. No fathers in the home, no discipline. I mean, it's really a total lack of respect. They don't respect the supervisor. They don't respect their parents. They don't respect the teacher. I used to coach football. They don't respect the coach. I don't understand it, but it needs to change, because we're definitely headed in a bad direction.
You know, it's interesting. I'm sorry, finish your thought there, Dave.
I got two brothers that were in the military, and I'm pretty sure a good year and a half, maybe 2 years of military for these young people would give them some structure and some learn respect and give them some structure and put them on a better path in life. Because they need it bad, and the country needs it.
You know what we need? We need a battalion of R. Lee Ermeys. That's who we need, Dave. The drill instructor, remember the DI from Full Metal Jacket? That's what this generation needs.
They couldn't take that.
No, they could not.
I had a brother in the Air Force and a brother in the Army, and I guarantee you, my baby brother said when he went to the Army and he sat down to eat his breakfast the first time, he had a minute and a half to eat that breakfast. If it wasn't down, he had to get up and run out of the mess hall, and the next morning he had that breakfast down in a minute and a half.
I bet he did. You know, it's interesting that he was actually, even though he did a phenomenal job in the movie, he was actually a former drill instructor in real life. So he brought a little bit of work experience to the role.
But we need, I'm telling you, these young people are headed in the wrong direction.
Dave, I appreciate that. Yeah, I appreciate that call, sir. And thank you for listening. Give us a holler back. 901-260-5926. Let's go to German Shepherd, who disagrees with me on this idea. Hey, German Shepherd, why do you disagree?
Well, sir, I got in a little trouble as a teenager straight out of high school. My dad said either go in the military or be homeless. And because of the trouble, I took my my recruiter to court with me and begged the judge not to put me in too much trouble. So I went into the Navy for 4 years, and let's just say I made E4 twice in 4 years because of the hard-headed person that I was. And I would say the thing that changed me is at age 30 when God revealed his holiness to me and my sin nature, and I surrendered to him. And that's what changed my life into a direction to where I became a productive American citizen, you know, without that desire of selfishness. You know what I'm saying?
But don't you think, though, that you know, a good drill instructor could put the fear of Almighty God in these little heathens?
He certainly put the fear in me, and I got in trouble in boot camp a couple times too. But it, consequences certainly do choose our actions, but it's still in the long run, it doesn't change us. It just helps us to make good choices. That's for sure. I'm glad I got in all the trouble I got into, but I did get an honorable discharge, and I'm thankful for that. But it didn't change me. It just, my life was more like, can I get away with it or not? I mean, look at Tim Walz. He was in the military, and look at what he's done and who he is.
Okay. Yeah, that's a fair assessment. I forgot about Tampon Tim. Yeah, you're right. You're right. German Shepherd, you've given us something to think about, and I appreciate you doing that. 901-260-5926. Let's go to Al in North Carolina. Hi, Al. What say you?
How you doing, bud?
Well, I'm doing pretty good. Thanks for asking.
Oh, great. Yeah, love your show.
Thank you.
When I was calling in, I just heard you asking about where all these people are getting these attitudes from these days and what the problem is parents do not raise their children like you already know. What's raising these children is this TV. They're all sitting watching TV, and it's all these reality shows. All these people acting like fools, yelling at each other, Jersey Housewives, all these stupid shows. And this is what these kids are growing up to believe adults are acting. This is the way you're supposed to act. And when they leave and they go out in public and they're on their own, they never had any parents because the parents are busy on Facebook and Instagram or gaming. Like I got a wife, her kids got his and hers computers in the living room. They both spend all night sitting there playing games while their kids run wild.
Really?
And kids are watching the TV, and this is what they grow up seeing at social media, too. And it's just, it's a poison. It's killing this country, isn't it? This is why everything's so out of hand, because there's no sense of reality anymore.
It's interesting.
What they see on the TV.
So, you know, it's interesting you bring that up, because I'm not sure if it's so much TV with this generation as it is the smartphones. You know, they're watching all the TikTok videos. They've got the Instagram. And they see, in a lot of these cases, these social media influencers on YouTube, and they live these glamorous lifestyles. And you wonder if these kids think that they should be doing that as well. And it really troubles me when I see young kids that are already on social media. They're wandering around with those phones. And, you know, I know that they've done the studies and they've talked about how dangerous it is for kids to have, you know, exposure to all of those things because their brains are not fully formed. So they really don't have a way to interpret all the data they're getting. And Al, as a result of it, you've got these smartphones that are raising these kids instead of moms and dads.
Yes, exactly.
Right. And when they're not on the smartphone, they're watching these reality TV shows, and it's just another over-the-top drama. They think it's called a reality TV show. There's nothing real about it. It's all scripted. It's all drama. And everybody thinks everything's got to be drama. I'm so sick of drama. You can't just have a nice day anymore. Everything's got to be over the top.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's a good point. What do you think, though, about sending the kids to the military?
I think that would be one heck of an idea. Every other country does it, and I'll tell you what, their kids would kick our kids' butts.
There are
go to war.
So you're actually very accurate there. There was a study done, and there is great concern that if we had to fight a war, that we would not be able to do that.
Well, no. Our last couple generations, they're nothing but mouth. That's all they know how to do is run their mouth. They don't know how to use their hands. They don't know how to use their hands in a bit. It's just they start running that mouth. You just reach right out, smack them down. They shut right the heck up, man, because they don't know how to back it up with their hands. They just know how to run that mouth because that's what they learn because they're sitting on the other side of a screen somewhere watching somebody run that mouth.
This is actually
they
true.
They don't know what's running that mouth can get you. I grew up in a different world.
Yeah.
I grew up, you go outside, you better be ready to fight if you're going to run that mouth.
See, I grew up in the 80s. We're a pretty tough generation.
You too.
All right. Oh, well, you're tougher than I am. Al, God bless you, man, and thank you for calling in. You know, I think Al would make a great drill instructor, Dylan.
Yeah, and you know what? I was actually thinking of Major Payne. Major Payne. If I had to go to the military, I would want Major Payne as my instructor.
He's the guy?
He's the guy.
What is it? Clint Eastwood. What was that? There was a movie that Eastwood was in, and it was sort of a comedy action drama kind of. Was it Heartbreak Ridge? That may have been it. Somebody will let us know. Yeah, that was a great movie. But again, you had all these yahoos, and they got themselves straightened out.
Yeah.
Thanks to the military.
I do feel like this is the description of Major Payne, because the delinquent JROTC students, you know. They got to get in line, so.
I like this. I think we're on to something here.
I think so.
All right, we got to take a break. Hang tight, everybody. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Hi, this is Todd Stearns. This past year has been one of the hardest in MyPillow's history, and it's because of loyal listeners like you. They're still standing strong. To show their appreciation, they're offering special Christmas savings exclusively for our listeners. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98, My Slippers with a free bottle of leather protectant spray for $39.98, and a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. Plus, there's a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow. Get this, only $14.98. Visit MyPillow.com or call 1-800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS to unlock these wholesale prices. That includes the standard MyPillow, normally $49.98, now just $14.98, with queen sizes marked down to $18.99 and king sizes for only a dollar more. That's MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506 and use promo code STARNS. All right, coming up tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, the Todd Stearns Show on Newsmax 2. We will be doing a deep dive into all of the fraud coming out of Minnesota as well as Ohio. And now we're talking about billions of dollars in fraud uncovered in housing and urban development. So we'll do a deep dive into that. And, of course, millions of people are watching Newsmax now, which is awesome. They're getting it on cable, also our streaming channel, Newsmax 2, and they're downloading our free Newsmax app on smartphones and TVs. Reuters says we are one of the top news brands in the nation, and I want you to find out why. Newsmax is the fastest growing channel in America. Make the switch today. Join our news revolution. By the way, you can watch the Todd Stearns Show on the Newsmax website, newsmax.com, or you can watch it live on their YouTube channel. Make the switch today. Get Newsmax on cable, on streaming, and download the free app today. It takes literally just a few seconds to start. Want to respond to somebody who weighed in on our Facebook page. They said, Starnes, that's unconstitutional. Forcing people to join the military is unconstitutional. Actually, it is entirely constitutional. As a matter of fact, there have been a number of times through American history where the government has used conscription. We now call it the draft, going all the way back to the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, World War One and Two, Korean War, and Vietnam. As a matter of fact, the mandatory service ended in the early, was it 1973, I believe, 1973. But it is, in fact, constitutional. But we move to an all-volunteer military, except for the draftees called up through the end of 72. So that's where we are now. Dylan, when you turned 18, did you have to register for the draft?
Oh, yeah, I think so.
You had to register. It is still the law of the land. Otherwise, I would have just inadvertently outed you for not signing up for the Selective Service
system. I was scared, but I did it.
Yeah, so far so good, but they do have the power to call folks up.
Yep.
So I would just say young men. I think the young men of America need this. Let's go to Mike in Clear Lake City, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920, wants to talk about Somalia. Hey, Mike, what you got for us?
Taking my call. Well, I've been following it on Newsmax, all the reporting and the Nick Shirley videos. And it dawned on me, had he gone to a daycare and found children, the daycare would have been, I guess, technically legit, and there was no fraud. So there would be no one would be the wiser as what's going on. And my point is, that's the reason why everybody's upset. But had the Somalis or whatever else, what other entity, been meeting the government requirement, taxpayer dollars would still be going to that entity.
Yeah, that's correct. As a matter of fact, I'll give you an example. I was just curious. So the other night I was just Googled to see how many child care centers in Tennessee were actually provided federal tax dollars. And I can tell you just in the Memphis area alone, over 300 of those facilities exist. Is there fraud? Well, we don't know. But to your point, I mean, if they're actually providing a service, but when you've got, what is it? They call it they misspelled learning. They call it the Learing Center. I'm not sure I want my kid going to a Learing Center.
Well, no, but my point is you've got unelected bureaucrats working in various government agencies, departments, bureaucracy, funneling money to people, places, and things that they meet minimum government requirement, but that doesn't mean they're justified in receiving taxpayer dollars. And to me, that's like a cancer eating at America from the inside, which is probably why we're almost $37 trillion in debt. It's not debt. It's money not going to where it should be going.
There was a report out earlier today, $70 billion in fraud just in California alone. I mean, so everything else is looking like peanuts. But to your point, yes, and I think you're right in the way you're framing the argument here. But look, the reality is we're getting to a point, and I don't know if you guys sense this, we're getting to the end of the road on all of this. And what I mean by that is we're getting dangerously close to people taking to the streets. I'm talking law-abiding taxpayers taking to the streets because many of them realize, wait a second, I can't afford to put my kid in child care. I'm working two jobs. And you're telling me my tax money is going into these child care centers in Minnesota and Ohio and other communities? You're telling me that my tax money is being used to take care of the Somalian children? Uh-uh. No, not at all. Those days are over. So that's where I think we're going with all of this. It could be very soon that we see people starting to take to the streets. And at that point, you have a de facto revolution on your hands. So Congress, the administration, they better take all this seriously. And let me just say this about our Justice Department. Not a single person has been arrested. Nobody's been put on trial. Nobody's been thrown in jail. and it's been over a year. So I'm not sure what they're waiting on, but this is going to spiral if they are not careful. So we need to start seeing some big-name people hauled into jail as a result of all of this. All right, I got to run here, folks. Hour two of the Big Show coming up, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Yes, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program, toddstarnes.com. I would encourage you to go and check out our website. We have a lot of great material for you there, and it's updated pretty much every day with new, fresh content, stories you're not going to find anywhere else in America. Also, we have some other great resources for you, including the podcast as well as the newsletter. Sorry, I was slightly distracted. So, Dylan, I got a text, and this happens to me all the time. And I don't know, I probably shouldn't have done this, but I got a text from somebody and they said, this is my new number with the smiley face emoji with the little cheeks, the little red cheeks.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, who is this?
They didn't say their name. They just said, I got a new number.
Yeah, it says, this is my new number with the smiley face emoji.
Wow.
So I'm trying to be like, because sometimes, you know, people, I get a lot of messages from people.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, howdy, who is this? I was trying to be nice. And said, excuse me, is this Lisa's number? This is Isabella. I'm not sure if I have the wrong number.
Oh, you got to keep going.
What should I tell her?
Well, you're Lisa now. You're not Todd Starnes. You're Lisa.
Nah, I don't want to be trans. I don't want to do that. I write like a man.
It wouldn't be Lisa. It would be like Toddina or something.
Toddina?
Yeah.
Toddina?
I don't know.
What?
What's your trans name?
I don't have a I don't have a trans name.
I think you need to play it as Lisa. I don't think you need to, you know, I don't think you need to cut this off is what I'm trying to say.
Okay. I don't know what to do now. I feel I'm cinched up now. I'm getting like,
you need to like channel one of your characters.
Your great grandmother, I'll never forget this. It's a family legend. One day the phone rang. When they lived, my grandparents lived in beautiful Whitehaven, which is a lovely suburb of Memphis. And the phone rang one day, and my grandmother is she's kind of like she looked just like Betty White back in the day. Mm-hmm. And she was very elegant and but she was very Southern as well. And, but she was a steel magnolia, so she was a lot of fun, but you didn't want to cross Meemaw.
Yes.
You used to really get on her nerves. Did you know that?
I did not know this. I was probably not. I don't remember anything.
You were a tiny little fella, but you would always eat all the candy out of the candy
dish.
Well,
that makes sense. Yeah. I do like candy, so. Sorry.
Anyway, the phone rang one day, and she answered the phone, and she must have been on that phone 45 minutes, and it turned out to be the wrong number. Somebody called. And she had such a nice conversation.
I love that. That would never happen to my generation. We would not even pick up the phone, probably.
No, that's the right. Exactly.
Yeah. So, I love that.
So
make a new friend.
Make a new friend. So I should come up with because now, you know, this could be like a liberal. I mean, this could be like an Antifa person. And Isabella. No, Isabella doesn't sound like a.
Yeah,
an Antifa person. It's a nice name.
Yeah.
All right. I've got to figure out what to do now because now she'll do what I did, which is Google the phone number.
Mm, yeah.
It came up with a recovery a recovery center for.
Yeah.
Maybe she needs a ride. Well, I don't know.
You should ask what she needs. What's up?
I can't do that.
Yeah.
And I can't do it. I feel bad. I mean, if she's coming out of rehab, I don't want to send her right back in. That would be terrible. I'm having flashbacks of talking about Santa Claus being dead.
Yeah.
At the diner.
Ruined five kids' Christmas.
I did.
And then 100 over the radio, just many, many more.
I should probably explain. A couple of weeks ago, we took the staff out for breakfast. A great diner is called Sunrise here in Memphis. If you are ever in our city, which you should be now that it's safe, you should go and eat there. It's amazing food. We're having a conversation, and what were we talking about? Santa Claus.
Yeah, somehow we ended up on Santa Claus.
And I just casually said, and again, it's a packed place, and I said, sorry, kids, Santa Claus is dead. And this woman shoots me this evil eye look. I was getting the stink eye.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't, and then it's like I still didn't catch on until, you know, one of the people in our crew, I think it was the lovely Miss Cheryl, said, or Miss Becky said, Todd, there are children. Yeah. Don't say Santa's dead.
To be fair, you were yelling across the table because, again, there was a lot of people. So you needed to say something loudly, and that's just, you know, that's just
noisy.
What happened to say what you did.
And you know what, kids? Sometimes you got to buck up.
Yeah.
it's time to be an adult.
Who cares if you're three? You need to know the truth.
Sometimes life is going to let you down, just like Santa Claus. Ho, ho, ho. Anyway, all that to say, Isabel, you got the wrong number. All right, let's go to the phones real quick. Kathy's been holding on. WHKP, our great affiliate in Hendersonville, North Carolina. Kathy, what's going on?
Well, Todd, I heard your comments about the draft before the break, and I just wanted to comment. You said it stopped in 1972, which probably did at that point. However, I'm going to let you know that all males between the ages of 18 and 25, U.S. citizens and immigrants, are required to register with the Secret Selective Service Department. It's still a requirement. I mean, they're not drafting them into the service, but you have to register.
Kathy, you are correct, and we did mention that. Dylan, who is in his, I guess you're in your mid-20s now, or late 20s?
26, so.
Oh, all right, you're still in the mid-20s. Yeah, Kathy, I had asked him if he had registered because, you know, you're still required under law to do that.
Right. I'm sorry, I didn't hear him say that. I wouldn't have called in if I had.
Well, Kathy, I'm glad you did call in. It's always good. You never know. I may end up forgetting something one day, and it's always good for you to have my back. I appreciate that.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for taking my call.
Well, you're so welcome.
Listen to the rest of the show now.
Well, thank you, Kathy. All right. Great lady right there, Kathy from Hendersonville. What a fun town, by the way. Good folks there. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Congressman Chip Roy says we got a big problem in the country, and he is now calling for and introducing legislation that would pause all immigration into the United States of America, including our H-1B visa program. Cut number one, please.
Empower the American people to do what they do best. And we've got to pause immigration. I introduced a bill to pause immigration because we've got to stop this massive abuse of our system using H-1Bs, using diversity visas. President Trump is exactly right to have frozen the diversity visas, to have stopped that, to freeze the flow from countries of concern. Remember that in 1920, when we had a high percentage of people that were foreign born, we froze immigration for 40 years. And our country vanquished, you know, the Nazis in Germany, freed the world. We did great things in those 40 years. We can do it again. That's why I introduced legislation to pause immigration. The president's right to do that, and I'm supporting him in that effort.
All right. I think this is a brilliant idea. I was talking to Congressman David Kustoff earlier today, and he actually backs this as well. So look, here's where we are in the country right now, and it is just, I just thank God for Donald Trump every single day, because President Trump has just torn back the covers, and we're getting to see just how far gone the country has been. I mean, it is terrible, just terrible what has happened. The tens of millions of illegals, the billions and billions, and it may be trillions of dollars in fraud. The elections that have been stolen, and we're getting all the evidence now of all of this. Well, the Supreme Court issued a ruling, I believe this was last week, and the Supreme Court said, hey, look, we're just, you cannot, President Trump cannot send in the National Guard to these cities in Illinois. And a lot of people thought at the time, okay, that's insane. But if you actually read what the Supreme Court ruled, it gives President Trump the backdoor opportunity to send in the military, the U.S. military, into Illinois, and specifically Chicago. And I'm just going to throw this out there, everybody, and I don't want, this is not to be overly anxious or be overly alarmed about things, but we are in a dire situation right now in this country. When you look at the $70 billion in fraud in California and the $9 billion in Minnesota that we know about, whatever the dollar amounts are in places like Maine and also in Ohio, the numbers of illegals that are still wandering around. And I do wonder if we do need to invoke the Insurrection Act, and that's what the Supreme Court is giving President Trump the backdoor opportunity to do. Invoke the Insurrection Act, declare martial law, send in the military, and put a stop to all of this in less than a month. Round everybody up and ship them back to wherever they came from. But I'm telling you, the H-1B visa program, that thing's got to come to an immediate halt. Because I don't know about you, but I know plenty of young people. I know plenty of old people who would be great marketing executives for places like FedEx. So I wonder why FedEx is going all the way over to India to hire a marketing person. Why is that? Something doesn't make sense about all of that. Anyway, here's more of Chip Roy from Texas, Cut 2.
Certainly not. I mean, he's certainly supportive of whatever they're doing. And this is one of the other things that we need to address is the extent to which members of Congress find themselves getting wealthy while they're in Congress. In this case, it appears by being completely in bed with all of the fraudulent activity that's going on in Minnesota. Of course, we should investigate this. Of course, we look into what they're scrubbing from their website. I think we've got to explore this as far as we can, including potentially looking into denaturalizing and removing Ilhan Omar if she's violated our laws. Mm-hmm. And by the way, we should also ban stock trading among members of Congress, since we're talking about the wealth Completely. Of Congress, and I have a bill to do that, and I hope we will do that next year. Mike Johnson, the Speaker, is working with us to do that. We have got to stop all of this flow of dollars that is corrupting our system. Empower the American people to do what they do best. And we've got to pause immigration. I introduced a bill to pause immigration.
Yeah, you got to. And he's absolutely right here. Look, do you realize in Minnesota, they allow one person... The Democrats in Minnesota allow one person to vouch for 8 migrant voters. Do you understand what happened in Minnesota and what is happening in Minnesota right now? Minnesota was once a very red state. Not anymore. So look, I think President Trump, and this may end up happening, is that the president will have to send in the military to put a stop to this, because we're looking at an uprising around the nation. That's what this is. It's an uprising. Got to take a break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. We'll be right back. You know, a lot of people have been perplexed by Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Republican Congress gal from Georgia, Northwest Georgia. And MTG has gone off the reservation, just did a long interview with the New York Slimes. And she suggested, and more of this is leaking out, it's a very long piece. It was published yesterday. And MTG says that President Trump is not a Christian, does not have any faith, is the exact quote, which implies that he is not a believer in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. She said, quote, that President Trump's eulogy for the late Charlie Kirk in September proved to her that he does not have any faith and that her decision to leave Congress was in part because of her faith-based pivot. Green said Charlie Kirk's assassination moved her to reconsider her own Christian faith and convinced her she was contributing to a toxic political culture. Which, by the way, let me stop you, and you Georgia listeners will know the name Eric Erickson, who is clearly never a Trump guy, and he's very excited about all of this, this potential change in MTG. So here's what MTG said. After Charlie died, I realized that I'm part of this toxic culture. I really started looking at my faith. I wanted to be more like Christ. Was that before or after the shenanigans with the gymnast? Just asking. Is she going back to her husband? Trump, who prompted concern among some Christian supporters last summer for appearing to suggest he could earn his salvation by inking peace deals, praised Kirk during his memorial in Glendale, Arizona, as a missionary with a noble spirit and a great, great purpose. But Trump admitted that he does not yet exhibit the grace toward his enemies that Kirk did. Quote, he did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them, Trump said. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent, and I don't want the best for them. May I just say something about that? I think Trump was being very honest and very open. And I do not know the spiritual condition of President Trump. I have my thoughts, and I'm going to keep those to myself because it's not my business. But my business is to pray for our president and to set a good example whenever I have the opportunity to be in his presence. I've seen many people, and it's hard not to wonder if MTG is weaponizing her faith, whatever faith that might be, to smear President Trump. I think what this woman is doing right now is appalling. And it is a great betrayal. But that's just me. Green said, post-Kirk, she grew weary of Trump's approach to politics. Our side has been trained, this is a quote, our side has been trained by Donald Trump to never apologize and to never admit when you're wrong. You just keep pummeling your enemies no matter what. And as a Christian, I don't believe in doing that. I agree with Erica Kirk, who did the hardest thing possible and said it out loud. With great fanfare there at the memorial service with the pyrotechnics and all the jewelry and all the trappings, and it was a very emotional moment. Green struck a tone of disillusionment in her resignation statement, by the way. She's leaving Congress, citing the president's attacks and his potential support for her primary challenger as key reasons for her decision. I find this all fascinating because up until now I had not heard of MTG being open about her faith, and I'm glad she is. And again, I don't question her faith. That's not my place. That's your spiritual condition is between you and God, ladies and gentlemen. All right. 901-260-5926. No, I don't think she's getting invited back to Mar-a-Lago, Dylan. I really don't. We'll be right back. So Elon Musk sharing this bombshell report. It turns out Minnesota processed nearly 300,000 online voter registration forms with zero proof of citizenship. Minnesota only mandates a migrant claim they are citizens without proving it. This is terrible. They're saying this is just ginormous. Minnesota also lets one person vouch for 8 migrant voters' eligibility to vote without them having to prove it. This is insane. Insane. Welcome back, everybody. Let's go right away to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Say hello to our good friend, Republican strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, I have to tell you that we follow, you know how it is. You follow somebody on social, then their family follows. And so I've been following the Josh Jones family, saga for Christmas. You guys had one heck of a holiday down there in Virginia.
Yes. Yeah. We had multiple Christmases because we have dad's side of the family and then mom's side of the family and then our direct family. So I'm sure you were privy to a lot of different photos from all those different Christmases back home.
So this is fascinating because, Dylan, turn your microphone on here. Josh, I noticed that you guys all dress alike for Christmas.
Apparently, this was a first for me. We had never done that before. It wasn't my idea, I do have to say. I mean, I went along with it.
We don't.
But, yeah, this year we did.
I don't. Dylan, I had to work. I missed our family Christmas. Did we do that?
No, we did not do that this year.
But everybody was clothed.
Everyone had clothes on.
Yeah. All right, that's a good step forward.
And it was warm here, so we all were wearing short sleeves.
Oh yeah, it was super hot. Now tell me, I didn't realize you were a published author either, Josh.
Well, I'm not, at least not yet. my mom got me this Christmas gift. I don't know what the company is, but apparently you can give them like a photo and then like you give them a little bit of background on the person and they write a whole AI generated book about you, like print it out, hard copy, all the bells and whistles. And it's basically like a real book. So I opened that up on Christmas morning for my mom. I haven't read it yet, but I guess I've pseudo-published author now via AI.
Congratulations. What's the name of the book? Do we have a name for it?
I don't know. I got it right here, actually. It says, The Art of Political Espionage, Inside Ooh. Joshua Jones's Playbook.
Oh, I like that. All right. Very cool. Well, you could make a lot of money selling that book.
Apparently. My grandma, whenever she came over later in the day on Christmas Day, just hang out with us for a little bit. She saw the book and started reading through. I hadn't even read it yet. She read two chapters.
That's brilliant. Josh, big, big scandal brewing in Minnesota, now Ohio. This is insane, the level of fraud that we're seeing in this child care thing.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely insane. And it goes back to what a good handful of Republicans were saying during all this COVID stimulus spending back in 2020 and 2021 of all the fraud that's going to come along with that. And then years later, here we are uncovering literally billions in fraud, in Minnesota and Ohio, and I'm sure other places as well. So it's a huge issue and frankly a huge insult to the American taxpayer.
You know, I do wonder, and again, we're still months away from the midterms, but this level of fraud, and I know people here in Tennessee that are angry over this, and because, they're being denied the same resources that are literally being lavished upon these migrants.
Yeah, no, I mean, I hope it becomes a bigger issue in the midterms and that Republicans use it as a messaging point, because it is a real issue. It's something that they estimated, we'll see what the investigation comes out with, but it's estimated that in Minnesota alone, they sold the equivalent of the GDP of the country of Somalia. So this is no small amount of money that we're talking about. And to your point, I mean, the primary issue heading into the midterms is affordability and the cost of living. And if Americans feel like their tax dollars are quite literally being stolen from them, that will be a motivator to get voters out to the polls, and we should use that.
I'm looking at your home state, the Commonwealth of Virginia, and you've got a Democrat that's about to take office, Governor-elect Abigail Spanberger. And some of the people she is associating with, Josh, it's really remarkable. She just named a new incoming DEI chief. And this individual actually recounted a mob yanking down a monument, dumping it into the water, and then treating it as righteous because the ancestors supposedly guided it, talking about the Christopher Columbus statue, which was funded by about 1,000 Italian-American residents of Richmond. You guys are in for quite a shock over there in Virginia.
Yeah, because look, Abigail Spanberger and the Democrats as a whole on this last campaign cycle last year ran as a moderate. Now, a lot of ways, Abigail Spanberger can be a moderate, but the risk you run with that is her getting pressured by, you know, whether it's Democrats in the General Assembly or in other components of the Democratic machine, forcing or, you know, seemingly forcing her to hire some of these people that definitely have more left-wing, frankly, woke views than she does. I mean, Virginians, we'll see, you know, what her final team ends up being when she takes office in January. But I mean, that's definitely one of her worst hires so far, frankly.
Have you heard this crazy story out of, is it Blacksburg, Virginia? Are you familiar with Blacksburg?
I am. That is where Virginia Tech is.
Okay. All right. Well, that makes sense then. So there's a city councilman, a kid by the name of Leon Watson. He was convicted of fraud charges, and he's a big pal of Spanberger's, by the way. This guy in his mid-20s, he was convicted of fraud and was forced to resign. And the reason why, he apparently was not living in the district where he was running for office.
Frankly, there's been more surprising things since the last election cycle from Virginia. So, I mean, this one's obviously bad too, but in the grand scheme, not too bad, all things considered. But yeah, I mean, obviously, should resign, should have run for office. But I'm just thinking back to some of the scandals that came out during the election cycle.
Oh, yeah, there were a lot in Virginia. I don't know what's going on over there in that state. But
we should write a political drama about it. Maybe that should be my book.
Your second book, yeah. I love it. All right. Goodness gracious. Yeah, this guy found guilty on two counts of felony election fraud, one count of illegally voting an election. They say he registered to vote. He listed the mayor's address as as his residence. This is insane. So anyway, very remorseful now, apparently. So there you go. All right. Josh Jones, published author. Published author. Josh, when are you heading back down to Texas? Going to be out on the campaign trail soon, I have to imagine.
Yeah. I'm back in D.C. now for a couple of days and then heading back down to Texas either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So,
all right.
Not much downtime, but, you know, got a couple of days back home in D.C. and then back down to Texas again. So.
How are things? What's your gut telling you about the midterms?
I mean, look, it's the holiday season. Nobody's really tuned in politically, so it's kind of hard to tell what the narrative is going to be. I think, genuinely a coin toss as of right now. If Republicans can get a core message on affordability and blast that the entire way between now and November, I think we'll be in a decent spot. But it depends on, you know, we got a political attorney until the midterm, so who knows what happens. But it's truly a coin toss as of right now.
All right. Good stuff. Josh Jones, Republican strategist. Be safe out there, Josh.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Good man right there, everybody. Josh Jones on the campaign trail. Let's go to Statesville, North Carolina. Charles, you know, it's been a long time, Charles. Glad you called in.
It has, Todd. A belated Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to you. I hope you're doing well.
I'm well. I thought you said bloody, but you said belated. My apologies.
I said belated, yes.
Belated.
Yeah. Well, hey, Todd, yes. I want to weigh in on this illegal immigration with these Somalis and others. The scab has been pulled off, and I think the American people are just seeing the tip of the iceberg. But probably just like you, the last few days and weeks, it's just made my blood boil about what's going on in Minnesota and how they've gotten away with this and just the scale of it. And with this being front and center right now in the minds of the American people, this is the perfect opportunity for President Trump, I think, Todd, to go full bore on doubling down on removing these illegal immigrants from the country. And that dovetails into this whole affordability crisis. Yesterday I read something on X by General Michael Flynn. They just said basically, you know, if the Trump administration and the MAGA movement doesn't do something now to implement this agenda, you know, with all the evidence, then it was all a bunch of BS to begin with, and it was just all phony. And I don't believe that that's what, you know, President Trump is. But I agree with what you said earlier. We need to, number one, is revoke, get rid of this H-1B visa program. We have a budget that's going to be coming up in 30 days in Congress. You know that they're going to have to pass a budget. And the last thing I want to see is a reconciliation bill that's passed by the Republicans, because all that's going to do is fund it at current levels, which means the Somali immigrants are going to get the same thing that they had been getting. So this is a perfect opportunity to cut out the waste, fraud, and abuse there. I wholeheartedly think that there needs to be a 10-year moratorium on legal immigration. We have to put a pause to this until we can get the ones that are already here to assimilate. But, Todd, another theft is what's going on politically in the country with 20 million people coming in illegally, Todd. If you take that number and you divide that by 750,000, which is the number of people that, you know, that's one congressional seat, there are 26 seats in Congress right now that should not be there. And they're primarily Democrats. And I think President Trump needs to, and Pam Bondi, they need to say there's going to be a mid-decade recount of the census. And all 20 million people that are here illegally are not going to count for congressional apportionment. I mean, go ahead and throw that whole birthright citizenship thing into the Supreme Court and let them decide that. But the way you move this thing forward, Todd, in my opinion, and through both houses of Congress, is you tell the American people that the main reason that you can't afford a house, that you can't afford groceries, that you can't afford a lot of the things, is because these illegals have caused prices to skyrocket from everything, from education to health care, and they're suppressing the wages of working Americans to where young people are just indentured servants. So I think the two go hand in hand, but if Trump and the Republicans will do that, I think that we'll win the midterms. If we don't take some action on it and put some actions behind the rhetoric, I think we're gonna lose.
Do you think that there may be people inside the Trump inner circle that are whispering in his ear, hey, you need to be kinder, you need to be gentler, you need to be thinking about legacy, and that could be one of the reasons why the administration's taking its foot off the gas when it, you know, in connection to all the DOJ scandals and things of that nature?
I think that's possible, but I don't think I don't think the ones that could be saying that, President Trump, are actually sincere, and that's the real their real motivation for telling him that. I think the real motivation is so many Republicans, as you and I both know, they wanted illegal immigration. They wanted cheap labor.
Oh yeah,
the Chamber of Commerce crowd, and you know you can go after all the criminal illegal aliens all you want to, but you know what? It's time to go after. And I know President Trump may not like to hear this. You got to go after the hospitality industry, the construction industry, the restaurant industry, the agricultural industry. You've got to go after all of that and get these illegals to self-deport and start fining companies that are hiring these illegals because they know that they're illegal. There's something called E-Verify, and I just think that that's the main reason that we're not moving any faster is so many Republicans are in bed with Democrats, and this is all by design to import cheap labor and change the voting demographic of the country.
Yeah. John Rich seems to think more than 90% of Congress is being blackmailed in some capacity. I think that it may be too low of a number, if you ask me. Charles, we've got to run. Good to hear from you, my friend. Thank you. You know, it does remind me, all of this reminds me, going back to your Greek mythology, remember the siege of Troy and the Trojan horse, right? And I think what we've had here exposed to us is a great big Trojan horse with millions and millions of illegals that flooded the country, and now we're discovering exactly how much this is costing the American taxpayer. And this is just, it's simply not sustainable. I got to take a quick break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to Dr. John Fleming. He is going to primary Bill Cassidy in Louisiana. Bill Cassidy, of course, a never-Trumper, so looking forward to that conversation coming up in the next hour of the show. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Yesterday, we had Mike Lindell on the program. I love that guy. He has a great testimony, great story, overcoming all sorts of obstacles. He found a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it radically changed the direction of his life, going from the streets of Minneapolis to Mar-a-Lago. Just beautiful story. Well, look, as you know, it has been a pretty difficult year for MyPillow, and it's because of people like you that they're still standing strong. And to show their appreciation, MyPillow is now offering a special Christmas savings exclusively for listeners of the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Right now, you can get the Children's Bible Story Pillow 5-Pack for just $29.98. You're going to be able to get a variety of blankets, comforters, and duvets starting as low as $25. And there is a major blowout deal on the standard MyPillow, now only $14.98. You can visit MyPillow.com. Or you can call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS to unlock all of these great prices. And that includes the standard MyPillow, originally $49.98, now just $14.98. Queen sizes marked down to $18.99, and king sizes only a dollar more. Not only that, all of the products that MyPillow makes come with a 10-year warranty. And they've also announced an incredible update. Their 60-day money-back guarantee is now being extended, and you'll be able to extend that all the way to March 1st. So, again, go to MyPillow.com or call 800-839-8506. That's 800-839-8506. Promo code STARNS unlocks all of those great, great prices. And, again, on this program, and you've noticed through all of our sponsors, we believe in supporting conservative businesses and doing business with conservative businesses, and I hope you do as well. All right, hang tight, everybody, and don't forget ToddStearns.com. Bookmark our page. We've got some great stories up online for you, and you'll also be able to download our free podcast as well as our free newsletter. We'll be right back, everybody.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Great to have you with us this hour of the program. Well, last night on our Newsmax show, we had an opportunity to speak to the Speaker of the House in Minnesota. And needless to say, Republicans in that state are under siege by these Democrats, these socialists, but they're fighting back. And I want you to, and we're going to get to that in just a few moments. Again, the situation out of Minnesota is just unhinged. So we're going to be talking to the Speaker of the House in just a few moments. But one of the big problems we've had is dealing with all of these rhinos on Capitol Hill and individuals, and especially Republicans, who are standing in the way of President Trump's agenda. One of those individuals is actually from Louisiana, and our next guest wants to do something about it. He is running for the U.S. Senate against Bill Cassidy. Dr. John Fleming joins us, the Louisiana State Treasurer. Dr. Fleming, hope you're doing well today.
I am, Todd. Thank you, and happy almost New Year's, and great to talk with you once again.
Dr. Fleming, there is a lot at stake, and as we go through these next few months, getting closer and closer to the midterms, fewer and fewer things are going to be accomplished on Capitol Hill. And I'm just wondering, what is it that Cassidy has not done? Why is it that you're jumping into this race and you're going to primary a sitting U.S. senator?
Well, first of all, Todd, Bill Cassidy has been one of the most moderate, or shall I say left-leaning, Republican senators in the U.S. Senate, coming from a ruby red Trump America First state. And but worst of all is in 2021, he was one of the seven senators, Republican senators, who voted with the Democrats to impeach President Trump. And he was actually already out of office, which means that what he was really doing is interfering with the possibility of Trump running once again, which, as you know, he did, because they were not successful. But even along the way, as Trump began to enter the arena to run once again, he called for him to step down, said he couldn't win, said that neither Biden nor Trump were good, and that maybe we should have a third party, a non-Republican, non-Democrat. But then, you know, once Trump was elected, he resisted the Secretary of Health and Human Services, Bobby Kennedy, but finally gave in under heavy pressure, but has tried to micromanage the Secretary of Health and Human Services ever since, and preventing him from doing his job. So, but at the same time, claiming that he's now a big buddy and partner with President Trump, which nobody buys in Louisiana.
No, and they shouldn't. I mean, it's pretty clear where this guy stands, and he stands against our president. Dr. Fleming, when you look at the lack of action that's happened in the Senate, for example, the House back in April, they passed the SAVE Act, which would protect our ballots and ensure ballot integrity. That piece of legislation is yet to be picked up by the Senate. And it seems to me that you've got a lot of Republicans that are hiding behind Senate tradition as opposed to delivering on the agenda that we, the people, sent the Republicans to Washington to accomplish.
Well, absolutely. We're up against filibuster problem, which means that, you know, Democrats, because you have to have a 60-vote margin in order to get things passed, except for the reconciliation bills, that's a problem. The blue slip problem. President Trump didn't get his appointee in New Jersey as the U.S. attorney because of the blue slip issue, which is an archaic tradition that's not found in the Constitution. So you're right. There are people who are resisting President Trump in his policies and in his initiatives. And as I say, Bill Cassidy has been one of the leaders, maybe the leader of that, particularly in the health and human services arena, where there's attempts going on right now to reform our national health care policies, which are way overdue.
You know, one of the things I'm excited, and you've had quite a career, you're, you know, former congressman, senior Trump advisor, now the state treasurer, and it's our understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but in January, you guys will officially ban junk food purchases on SNAP or EBT cards.
That is correct. That was passed into law by the state legislature. Our governor, Jeff Landry, signed that into law. And, you know, Louisiana is probably ranks the highest in obesity and metabolic diseases. And those who suffer from this the most are the population that gets SNAP benefits, which is almost 50% of the population of Louisiana. So it makes a lot of sense that we encourage physical activity and healthy eating among those who are more likely to suffer from obesity, which leads to diabetes, cancer, heart disease, and really just about anything that's harmful to you. So Louisiana wants to rise to the top of the list in terms of healthy citizens. And so we begin with this.
Dr. John Fleming is on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. He is going to primary Bill Cassidy. Curious, what have been the rumblings out there on the campaign trail?
Well, we've done multiple polls, other campaigns, and third parties have done multiple polls, and they all come out the same, and that is that Bill Cassidy, his ceiling of support is 30%. He can't get above 30%, and he's tried. He's spent millions and millions of dollars to convince people that he's somebody that he's not really, which is a supporter of the First America agenda and President Trump. And so what it shows is that in the crowded field of about 10 people, he and I are way at the top of the list on the closed primary results. The last one that was done in October showed me at 25%, Cassidy at 23%, so I'm leading him by 2 points there. But then in the runoff, because there will be a runoff, I win by 14 points. So clearly I'm leading him, and he's desperate to try to get his numbers up. But the people of Louisiana are skeptical because this is a man who was, the last time he ran for re-election almost 6 years ago, he asked for and got Trump's endorsement, and it was only months later that he turned around and stabbed President Trump in the back by voting to convict him of high crimes and misdemeanors in the second impeachment trial. And that was after so-called reviewing the evidence. So the people of Louisiana have not forgotten that. And the Louisiana GOP, the Republican Party of Louisiana, have already sanctioned him and condemned him, and they're not supporting his reelection. So apparently Bill Cassidy is persona non grata in Louisiana, not only because of his opposition against Trump, but because he supports Democrat, left-leaning, woke policies, the climate agenda, such as wind and solar and now carbon capture and sequestration, which involves eminent domain and control of people's land by private companies in Louisiana. There's a big, big turmoil over that. And so he's really voted the wrong way in every case. He supported and was one of the architects of the infrastructure bill, which was supposed to renew our highways and our airways. But what it's actually done is put money into woke investments, you know, climate change type of investments. $5 billion in the fast railway in California that was never created. So Louisiana's just tired of this. They're ready for common sense governance, and that's why they want to send a First America former congressman like me to the U.S. Senate to replace Bill Cassidy.
All right. FlemingSenateCampaign.com is the website, folks. FlemingSenateCampaign.com, and you can read all about Dr. Fleming and all of his platform positions. But I think that you're going to be looking at the next U.S. senator from the great state of Louisiana, Congressman Dr. Fleming, Senator Fleming. Thank you so much for joining us, and we wish you nothing but the best out there on the campaign trail.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Todd.
All right.
And Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Happy New Year. No, I am so glad to see somebody going up against Bill Cassidy. This guy... I mean, he really did, and I think Dr. Fleming just framed it beautifully. I mean, he really did stab President Trump in the back, asked for the president's endorsement, and then stabbed the guy in the back. Just unbelievable. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Another big story we've been following is the situation in Minnesota. When we come back, we're going to be talking with the Speaker of the Minnesota House of Representatives. We'll be right back. Jack, knowing that, again, we're talking millions and millions of views, over 100 million views of this video on X. What do you make of the attention this is receiving nationwide?
Todd, it's unbelievable that an independent journalist blew the lid off this whole scandal, and now Tim Walz and the Liberal Democrats and the Attorney General in Minnesota can't run, they can't hide. But as I understood the video, that $110 million, he found that in one day. We do know that it's been proven that Feed in the Future, $250 million has been identified positively as taken for fraud, and then the total program could have lost up to $18 billion in terms of the federal entitlement programs that we believe could have been stolen. That might be as low as $5 billion, but keep in mind, Minnesota is not a huge state. Georgia is about twice as big in terms of population. Minnesota is about 5.7 million people. So you're not talking New York City. You're not talking some California. This is a small state. Tim Walz is either willfully blind, as Nick Shirley said, or is the most incompetent person in the world.
Yeah, Corinne, Nick Shirley actually asked a one daycare owner, where are the kids? Where are those kids? Let's watch.
We don't want you to be videotaping anything. You cannot stop people on the street and question them.
We can ask.
You don't have any permission.
Where are the children?
I will sue you. You don't have any permission. We have nothing to do with this. You understand?
Then are there
children? So leave.
I've been attacked twice. Once with a knife, and the other time I was jumped last Saturday by three Somali men simply for asking questions about what was going on.
And again, Corinne, why is it that the mainstream media, they're still ignoring this story? By and large, they're taking a pass on this.
Listen, I know Nick Shirley personally. He's a friend. He's a coworker. I've been on the front line with Nick Shirley many times in Washington, D.C. People don't understand his mother is the secret weapon. And everything he's telling you is real. It's legitimate. Nick Shirley is the future of journalism, and mainstream media should have done this decades ago, because this is just Minnesota. Imagine right now I'm in Los Angeles. Imagine the fraud we're going to find in Los Angeles. Imagine the fraud we're going to find in New York City. People need to be on high alert, because we have an incredible group of independent journalists who are out there on the front line. I do a lot of this work. And listen, Nick Shirley had to spend $6,000 just to get security, just to get the airplane tickets, the hotels, just to go back and forth. So it costs about 10 grand to do this stuff. And so thank God his mother backs him up. I was just with them at the Turning Point America Fest conference last week in Phoenix, Arizona. He's one of the most amazing journalists, very brave on the front line.
All right. Jack, I want to bring you back in. You served in Congress, and this makes me angry. I'm a little pissed off, to be perfectly honest with you, because it's not just Minnesota. This happened all over the country. So why can't Congress do something about this? And by do something, they control the purse strings, and there is a way for them to freeze all federal funding to Minnesota. And I'm wondering, maybe we ought to take that extreme step here until we can figure out where all this money is going.
You know, Todd, it's similar to the border. We don't need a new law. We need a new president. And we have a new president. And I think that Donald Trump is going to be cracking down on this. We see this over and over again, where people are enrolled in Medicaid, and yet they also get an ACA subsidy. We see dead people who are enlisted in Medicaid, people who are in three or four states who are in Medicaid. So there is a lot of waste, a lot of fraud, and a lot of duplications that much of this was addressed in the big, beautiful bill. Republicans could not get it as far as we wanted it in terms of the work requirements, but that's another area where there's a lot of fraud. I mean, work is going to school, or saying that you have a dependent child who could be elderly, by the way, or an elderly parent. There's so many loopholes in the work requirement alone. But Big Beautiful Bill took a great step in this direction, but we need to do more. And I think people like Nick Shirley and Corinne, I want to hug his mother. I think they're going a long way to expose this stuff.
Yeah, Corinne, what say you about that? I mean, at some point, we're going to have to get this nipped in the bud. And it seems to me we've got to turn off the money spigot here.
It's very important to do that. And I just want people to be on high alert that in every state, there are independent journalists like Nick Shirley. And everyone needs to really prepare. Because what I'm finding out, based in Washington, D.C., which is where I've lived since January 2021, is that most of these Antifa groups, most of these liberal, wacky Democrats that cause violence, most of these protesters are paid by government grants. And so we need DOGE in every single town, every city, every state, and we need independent journalists. He was just using his cell phone. Of course, he had to have security. I want to really be clear about that. He's getting many death threats. The backlash for this is serious, and that's why women like me, I'm a little bit careful, you know what I mean? But we have to have security to do this stuff, and it's important to know we're doing it. And when I find stuff, I give it to people like Nick Shirley. I give it to journalists that can handle it. And hopefully you'll take some of these stories because we're finding them every single month.
All right. That's some of the back and forth we had on the Newsmax show last night. This reporter, she was a little fired up. And the reason why is I just asked a very simple question of one of the lawmakers. Has anybody been able to authenticate all of the information that Nick Shirley has uncovered? I mean, that's an important thing to do. We still have to do good journalism, no matter if you're on the Republican side or the Democrat side of the aisle. And some people get offended by that. Look, I have an obligation to you, my audience, to make sure that everything we present to you is accurate. And we will always do that. And if it irritates people, well, you know, they'll get over it. We'll be right back. Got an email last night from one of our readers from the website. She had just purchased a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? And was really encouraged. She said it was a funny book, she said, but there was a lot of information that she was not aware of. And she came away from that book really, really hopeful for America. And that's the big question. Can America be saved? And I answer that question, and the answer is yes, it can be saved. The question is, are we willing to do the work necessary to save the country? And clearly President Trump is. That's why he's working literally around the clock, this president. I've never seen anybody with a work ethic like Donald J. Trump. So anyway, I would encourage you to get a copy of Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? It's available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you get your books. You can order it online. Actually, it is cheaper on Amazon, $15.25 for the hardcover edition. It came out last year, last March, and it has done incredibly well. And I think, again, it's a message that people need to hear. So be sure to get a copy of it, Twilight's Last Gleaming, Can America Be Saved? Let's go to the phone lines, Little Rock, Arkansas. Steve on the line. Hi, Steve. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. I want to connect a few conspiracy theory dots here. It seems like the Democrat Party, the 2000s kind of, they picked their presidential candidate based on DEI. They got to be the right race, right gender, right all this stuff. But their vice president candidate seems to be the person who's the top grifter they can find. Do you think Kamala's choice of Tim Walz, which at the time she was picked, nobody could figure out what'd she pick this guy for? Where'd he come from? It may have been all this money he was kind of had access to in Minnesota. Just like when Obama picked Biden back in 08, everybody kind of, well, let me pick that old white man for. Well, come find out that old white man knew where how to get a hold of the big bucks out of China and all this other stuff.
That's true. And there was another reason why when it came to Obama and Biden, and they needed a white guy on the ticket to, you know, just to kind of, and that was part of their, that was part of their rationale, their thinking. You know, their, the calculus they did is that, oh, we need an established white dude on the ticket to put everybody's minds at ease. I'm not kidding you. That was actually one of the reasons why the Democrats did that. And Steve, I would not put it past them to have done the same thing with Kamala and Tim Walz. But that is an interesting thought, because he certainly does know where all the grift is. So it could be. It could be.
I remember when they announced Kamala, I mean, the Democrat Party was broke. And then all of a sudden, almost overnight, they just raised hundreds of millions of dollars, just came pouring in. Then a few days later, they announced Tim Walz.
Mm-hmm.
As far as the Biden deal, here's my theory. I think when the Clintons went to Washington in the 90s, they asked, because I saw how they operated in Arkansas, they asked, who do we need to get with to get our hands on the money? And everybody told them, Joe Biden's the guy you need to talk to. And I think Joe Biden set the Clintons up and showed them how to run the game. And then his payback was when Barack Obama came along, the Clintons stepped in there and said, this is the guy you need. He took care of us. He'll take care of you.
All right, Steve. Appreciate the call. Good thought there. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So, Dylan, the NIL controversy is getting even louder, and there are calls really across all of college sports for the president, for Congress to step in and to deal with this. And it's really a shame what's happening here, but I want to play. We played some audio from Coach Calipari, who is at Arkansas, and he says we've got to fix this. Cut number 11.
Well, look, I don't blame coaches. You know, I've got friends that are playing with 27-year-olds, and they feel bad. I said, don't feel bad. We don't have any rules. Why should you feel bad? But let me give you this. Real simple. The rules bees the rules. So if you put your name in the draft, I don't care if you're from Russia and you stay in the draft, you can't play college basketball. Well, that's only for American kids. What? If your name is in that draft and you got drafted, you can't play cup because that's our rule. Yeah, but that's only for American kids. Okay. Okay. Now, here's the next lawsuit. Well, we don't have a say over European players. You do if they're playing in college basketball. So that means you don't have a say over high school kids. So whatever a high school kid does before he comes here, don't you do one thing, because there's a suit. Because what you're saying is, if he's in Europe, we don't have the same rules. What? If he puts his name in the draft, he can't go to college. He left his name in. Well, that's different because he's European. Okay, you're not doing anything with a high school player then. We don't have any jurisdiction over a high school player, do we? We don't. So when they come, you just got to say, all right, now they're here.
So he's complaining because the players, Dylan, are getting older and older and older. I mean, it's like, come on, guys.
Yeah, the transfer portal has essentially made it to where you're an 18-year-old and you can play against like a father of four that's just like taller, stronger, more, you know, experienced in the league. He's also talking about just the fact that in Europe, you can go pro, basically. You can be drafted into the NBA. You can play pro over elite, over the seas and still be eligible to play college basketball, which makes it just completely unfair. Like, you're playing against a pro player at that point, and it's just, yeah, there's no rules.
Yeah, no, here's Matt Painter talking about this as well. Cut number 9.
Yeah, we just want to know the rules so we can abide by them. Like, we don't know what's going on. So that's what I would say. Like, we need some leadership. We need somebody to step up and, like, here's how it's ran, here's name, image, and likeness, here's the transfer situation, like whatever. Like, we can go on to all these different examples, and like, give us the rules, we'll abide by them. You know, because that's who the rules are for. The rules aren't for the people who cheat. The rules are for the people that abide by them. And so, like, that's where this is all goes down, and there's no communication. Like, we just want to know. Like, tell us what to do. Tell us how to go about it. And then, like, you know, we'll go from there. And it's just, there's just a lot of gray area right now.
I mean, it's basketball, it's football. I will say this, Dylan, when you look at what's been happening to some of these, North Texas, and there was another school, James Madison, I think, the entire starting lineup just left. They're gone.
Yeah, and why wouldn't you? Like, if you're a player and this is the game now, because it's all a game, why wouldn't you go to a school that's offering you more money? I mean, that's the whole point of NIL in the first place, is you want to be represented and you want to, like, you know, receive credit for the good work that you do. And now it's turned into this pay for play. Like, hey, I'm Alabama and I'll give you, well, not Alabama saying this, but Alabama saying, I can offer you these NIL contracts that can potentially get you millions. It's a no brainer for these players in Power Five conferences. And it makes everybody else suffer because you're only going to see the top schools in the playoffs. And then, you know, it's boring.
I think all the other schools go away. I think you're going to see universities ending their football programs.
Yeah.
Because those are very expensive. You're not going to be able to compete. I mean, not everybody's got Bill Gates money.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Exactly. And, like, well, my opinion is to open the playoffs more like a March Madness style. And just give them a chance, because at this point you're out buying the players that are top level, and these high school recruits are not even given a shot anymore because the transfer portal is just giving all these juniors and seniors to the top schools. No one else has a chance.
Right now you could play college football at four different schools over the course of your career.
Yeah.
Or maybe even five or six.
Yep.
And I mean, again, you're not getting an education. That, I mean, right? I mean, that's the whole point of college sports, is you're supposed to be getting an education.
Yep, and you're coming out of there, you're 27 years old, 26 years old, and you're not going pro? I mean, what's there left to do? Like, that's all that there is.
I love this coach, the Rutgers head football coach. He was doing a Q&A with the press, and here's what he had to say about it. Cut 10.
A lot of teams have been adding guys or pursuing guys midseason.
Yeah, let's go. You got anybody for me? Well, let's go. You got any eligibility left?
I have 4 years. I don't
know if
you're on the
roster. Let's put it in. Let's see if we can get you some eligibility here.
I don't know if that's a good idea, but are you pursuing anybody? Or
yeah, you have to. Whoever's out there, you try to pursue. You know, like, it's a weird world. You know, I'd like to get a 36-year-old with four kids and hungry for a job. I'd like to get one of those guys. We'll see if one of those guys is available. But, yeah, I mean, you got to pursue, you know, any lead that you have on anybody, and then got to go through all the steps to try to make it happen. It's very complex.
Sure, but yeah. As we sit here right now, do you anticipate adding anybody?
I hope. I keep your fingers crossed, all right? You'll be the first one to know.
All right, enough of that. I want to go back. Dylan, I mean, the guy was, I think he was joking, but I think it was also serious.
I mean, that's like the only option you have.
Yeah.
If there's no rules, I mean, you just got to go and find the best possible player you can, no matter where you find him.
And honestly, those are the kinds of players you would want on your team, right?
Unfortunately, but like, if I'm an 18-year-old in high school and I'm seeing like father grandpa, that's like the starting point guard, like, I'm feeling so discouraged. Like, I'm not even grown yet. And there's just no chance for me to even get on the team, much less play if I'm on it.
It's just like, if I'm coaching in the WNBA, I'm going for every transgender athlete out there.
There you go.
Right? I mean, you want the winning advantage.
Exactly.
You've got to take, I mean, these are the rules, and you're hearing these coaches over and over and over again. But lost in all of this are the fans, and the fans are screwed.
Oh, yeah.
They've got nobody to cheer for.
Unless you've already been cheering for those top teams, yeah.
And even then, how do we fix all of this?
Yeah, I think the rules and the regulations have to be set in place. And not only that, they have to be enforced. And I know recruiting is so complicated, just how it happens. Like, coaches can just text players and say anything they want. But something has to be in place where you're like, you can't do that. You can't do under the table, you know, little deals and all this stuff. And yeah, I mean, you have to enforce something or else it's just, it's already out of hand, but we got to bring it back to a scale where it's enjoyable for players to play the game, get an education, first of all, and for fans to stick with a team that they've been loyal to for years. And so now, yeah.
But if you're paying somebody, you're paying a football player, I don't know, just on average is, and by the way, is everybody on the team getting paid or are these just the big high profile?
I mean, at this point, most players are getting paid something because that's just the name of the game.
So let's just say, and I don't know, how much did it cost for you to go to U of M?
Oh, I don't remember. It's a couple thousand dollars a semester.
Okay. So let's just say these kids are getting, what, $100,000 a year. They're getting a check, $150,000 a year paycheck to play college ball. I say they don't get a free education. They got to pay that money. Why? Yeah. Because the taxpayers, you and I, are having to foot the bill for a degree they're not even going to class to get.
Yeah. And Coach Calipari actually mentioned the transfer. His idea for like the transferring is you have to sit out a whole year before you play in an actual game. And I thought that was a good idea to start with. Just something where it's like you can't just come here, get paid, and then leave the next year because you're just leaving everybody else out.
It's beyond me why we have grown men who cannot understand what is happening here. One of our cherished things, which is college sports and especially March Madness. I'm a big football guy, but you know, March Madness rolls around. Everybody does the brackets. That's all going away.
Yeah.
We're spending tens of millions of dollars renovating stadiums. Those stadiums are going to be empty in a few years. Mm. I just don't see this as being sustainable.
Yeah. Got to bring it back.
Get everybody in a room. I would just, at this point, I would just pay everybody a set amount, and they got to go to college. They got to go to class. They got to keep a certain grade point average, and they can't transfer. You take that money, you're locked into that school for 4 years unless your coach leaves.
I like that idea because NIL in itself is not a bad idea. I mean, like, compensating these players for putting them, you know, their whole careers on the line, they're putting their bodies on the line, all this stuff, that's great. They're getting compensated for it, but it's too far. They have to, you know, stay at the school. Just have some school pride. The fans are there for you. They're not there just for anything.
And that pride is gone, and I'll just use University of Memphis as an example. The average age of the fan base is, what, in their 50s and 60s?
Old. Yep.
Old. Hardly any young people, and part of that is most of the University of Memphis are foreign students. You know, they don't like American sports.
That's a good point.
I mean, if you had a cricket team, okay, maybe.
Cricket would go crazy at Memphis.
It's just shocking. And our tax dollars are paying for all of this. Unbelievable. All right, we're going to keep an eye on this. This goes back to the culture of America. Rush Limbaugh predicted years ago that the left would destroy our beloved sports. And we are watching it happen in real time. Got to take a break. We'll be right back.
He's not bitter. He's...
All right, folks, don't forget, 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax 2. You can watch that on Newsmax.com over on the right-hand side of the page. You'll be able to find it there. And also, be sure to check out our website, ToddStearns.com. Bookmark the page. We have some great, great stories up on the website. By the way, the big story is the New York Times enraged that President Trump made his Christmas message all about Jesus. So you'll be able to read that story again at ToddStearns.com. Also, parents in Memphis, Tennessee, stunned by drag queens in a family-friendly production of The Wizard of Oz. You'll be able to read that story. Our third top story over on the website, Mike Lindell vows to restore Minnesota state flag. And you heard that news here on the show yesterday. You'll be able to go and listen to the interview, read the story. Mike Lindell now running for governor. You know, it's interesting. That is a very crowded field on the Republican side. And I do hope, because Well, I hope that Lindell's going to be able to pull it off in the primary, because there are a lot of moderate Republicans in that state. So we're going to keep an eye on that race. We'll definitely get Mike Lindell back sometime soon as we get closer to the midterm elections. Also, don't forget, if you haven't done so, sign up for our newsletter. You're going to love this. ToddStearns.com. Our newsletter comes out 3 days a week. Also, get our podcast. You'll be able to listen to all 3 hours of the Todd Stearns Show commercial free. All right, we've got to leave it there, everybody. Been a great show. We're going to do this all over again tomorrow. Get out there. Have a great one, America.